As you've been hearing on WNYC, New York State has agreed to place unprecedented restrictions on the use of solitary confinement in its prisons. No more locking up children in isolation for 23 hours a day. No more isolation as routine punishment for pregnant inmates who break prison rules. For the mentally disabled, no more than 30 days in solitary. The agreement places New York at the forefront on one issue in an emerging national debate about the criminal justice system and prison reform. Brett Dignam is a law professor at Columbia Law School who has studied the issue of solitary confinement. She joins us now from Morningside Heights to discuss the significance of this recent development. Welcome to WNYC, Professor.
Thank you.
It seems like a big deal when New York State decides to greatly curtail its use of solitary confinement. To what extent are you seeing this as a tipping point for the prison reform movement?
It's a very big deal, and we sincerely hope that it is the tipping point. There have been a number of positive developments, but this is huge. To be able to stop the litigation, which is expensive and adversarial, and adopt the approach that's been articulated, the collaborative cooperation of experts to really figure out solutions that will restore confidence in the system, legitimacy in the system is a very big deal, and we've seen several moves in that direction, so it's another positive step.
The litigation you were referring to that state correction department reached, the state reached an agreement on with the New York Civil Liberties Union, three inmates suing over their experience of solitary confinement. Could you back up a little bit and explain what's wrong with it, the way it's been used in New York? What are the health effects that it has on human beings? What basically these three inmates were arguing?
Sure. Well, this is a national debate. The courts have come to refer to this as extreme isolation, and that is exactly what it is. 23 hours a day of lockdown, very little, if any, social interaction. There's extensive psychiatric literature at this point that supports the fact that individuals, human beings, deteriorate extremely rapidly, as you might imagine, under those conditions. The number of juveniles that have been subject to these conditions is significant. There have been well-documented evidence of the extensive debilitating effects of this kind of confinement. So, yes, building on a report that was issued in 2012 called Boxed In and a related video, these inmates were arguing those kinds of damaging effects, long-term damaging effects from these kinds of conditions of confinement.
And yet the state didn't do away with it altogether. And the union representing correction officers says it takes away an important tool they have to maintain discipline.
Well, I understand that position has been articulated, and certainly when solitary became as popular as it did, a lot of it grew out of an initiative to build the so-called supermax facilities, which were very popular in the 1990s, and the rationale given at that time was that they were necessary to house the worst of the worst. In fact, it turned out that categorization applied to very few inmates. There are some individuals who need particularly severe and restrictive forms of confinement for limited periods of time. Often those are people who suffer from severe mental illness, and this is a great step in recognizing that a therapeutic model is far superior to a punitive model for people who suffer from those sorts of diseases.
In New York City, the big debate for so long has been stop and frisk, and now we're hearing more, I think we're hearing more about solitary confinement. There's another congressional hearing coming up on it. City health officials recently published a study on its use at Rikers Island. Why do you think this is coming to the fore now?
Well, I think there are a couple of reasons. One is that it's an extraordinarily expensive form of confinement, and the best estimates that we have is there are up to 80,000 people around the country that are housed in these conditions. What the New York 2012 Boxed-In report documented was that far too many people were ending up for long, long periods of time in these conditions of confinement for relatively minor disciplinary infractions. Often they didn't even know why they were there. There wasn't enough review to determine whether people really should be held in those kinds of conditions. So that was one. The psychiatric evidence, which has been mounting in the last two decades about the severe effects, the link between that sort of confinement and higher recidivism rates. So 98% of the people who we send to jail and prison are coming home. They will be our neighbors. They will be back in our community. We all have an interest in returning them to society in better shape than when they went in.
Brett Dignam is a professor at Columbia Law School. She started a federal prisoners' rights clinic and does a lot of work with inmates, and she's a former attorney with the Department of Justice. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
This is WNYC.